Coming to the Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Praise and glory to God. The translation is from Anne Nyland, The Source. There was a certain person who was a member of the Pharisees. His name was Nicodemus, and he was one of the rulers of the Jews. This person came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we all know that you're a teacher who has come from God, as no one could perform the miraculous signs that you do unless God were with them." Jesus answered, "Let me emphasize this, that unless one is born from above, one is not able to see God's realm. How can a person be born again when they are already old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely a person can't go back into their mother's womb a second time to be born again." Jesus answered, "Let me emphasize this. Unless someone has been born from water and spirit, that person cannot enter God's realm. Living things of the natural realm can only give birth to other living things of the natural realm. It is the spirit who gives birth to the spirit. Don't be surprised at my statement, you must be born from above." Jesus continued, "The wind of the spirit blows wherever it, the spirit, wants to. And you hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it's going. It is the same way with everyone who has been born from the Spirit." "How is this possible?" Nicodemus exclaimed. Jesus answered, "For a fact, you are Israel's teacher and you don't understand these things. Indeed, we are speaking about what we know, and we are speaking truthful words about what we have seen, and you people reject our evidence. Since I have spoken to you people about earthly things and you don't believe, then how will you believe when I speak about the things of the spirit realm? And the only one who has gone up to heaven is the human being who has come down from heaven. Then the human being must be lifted up, just as Moses was lifted up the snake in the desert, so that everyone who believes him will have eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not die, but would at that point have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world in order to judge the world, but that the world should be saved through his Son. Whoever believes him is not judged, but whoever does not believe him has already been judged, because they have not believed the name of God's only Son. This is the judgment. Light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness instead of light, for their actions were evil. Everyone who commits thoughtless acts hates the light and does not go toward the light. Otherwise, their actions would be exposed. But the person who has the truth moves towards the light, so that it may be revealed that their actions have been carried out with God. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Please be seated.
Loving Lord, I just welcome Bruce here, Lord, and I welcome the presence in your Holy Spirit. Lord, I just pray that your words touch each one of us, Lord, as we as Bruce speaks his words. In your name, amen.
Amen. Only one piece of paper here, Jan. I must confess, I did not look at the church calendar when I prepared this. I did not notice it was Trinity Sunday. So we're covering Jesus and the Holy Spirit and missing the Father a little bit. And some of that translation for you might have been a little bit unfamiliar. There are different expressions in there. Jesus referring to himself as the human being is one of them. That's a formulation in the Greek that is not translated normally, because literally the expression is the son of the man. And theologians and scholars are wrestling about that since about the year 200 or 300. However, Nicodemus came by night. He's drawn to Jesus like a moth to a flame. He comes acknowledging that Jesus is from God. He says, "We know you're from God." But Jesus' answer immediately seems to be a change of subject. Be born again, be born from above. That's the same expression. Has anyone else had wrestled with that when you've come across it? Okay. Actually, Jesus is responding to the initial statement that Nicodemus made. We know. In the Greek, that word implies a complete knowledge. And that is what invites Jesus' response. You cannot see, and paraphrase it, hey Nicodemus, you can't see, you can't know, unless you are born into the kingdom of God. He then goes on in verses 5 to 8 that there are two distinct kingdoms involved here. There is a natural kingdom, there is a heavenly kingdom. They don't understand each other, although the spirit kingdom has a fair idea of what's going on here. We have virtually zero idea of what's going on over there and zero awareness of that. So the natural kingdom, our natural world, the world we understand and live in, this world does not understand the spiritual kingdom. And that's the world we are in. So Nicodemus came by night, and he came probably seeking a long, uninterrupted conversation with Jesus. Maybe a spiritual exchange of information. And he's a teacher. He's confident in what he knows and what he teaches. But the answer he receives immediately directs him towards a new birth and the ability to understand a spiritual kingdom that flows out of that, the awareness that flows of that. The mediator of this new birth, Jesus explains, is God's Holy Spirit. And in this, I'm going to follow the tendency of Jewish teachers to assign feminine to the Holy Spirit. So I'll simply refer to her as her or she or God's Spirit. And like we saw last week, Rebecca demonstrated quite nicely, the Holy Spirit is like a wind. The word pneuma, to remind us, in the Greek, is the same for wind and for spirit. And Jesus is playing on those two words in those sentences. So Jesus directs Nicodemus to his need for an initiation into the spiritual kingdom by means of a new birth or a new beginning. It is only by this that he will be enabled to see and understand God's kingdom. What he knows at present is derived from observation in the natural world. And Jesus wants to change that, so he perceives the truth as God sees it. And if you were there giving advice to Nicodemus, he was right. He needed a long conversation with Jesus. And Nicodemus came by night. He came with his weaknesses, with his fears. At that time and culture, rich people did not seek out the poor. They definitely would not want to be seen in the company of poor people. Yet this controversial miracle worker had caught his attention. So Nicodemus steps out of all the cultural norms, all his comfort zones, and that he's lived in these all his life. And he risks major social stigma and the loss of mana, to use Maori, in the eyes of his peers. His attention has been drawn to Jesus. He sees the miracles as signs pointing to God. Yet I wonder if that alone would be enough to overcome the hurdles in his way. We don't often talk about the ability of God's Spirit to draw people towards God. Yet if you read the history of revival, and particularly in the Western world, you'll find her drawing power there. I experienced something of that years ago. I was drawn towards a young woman that I knew. And it wasn't Shirley, by the way. But there was something within her that drew me. And in my carnal way back then, this is love. This is a relationship forever. But she just pointed me to Jesus and eventually got me along to a meeting. And the result of that was an encounter with the Holy Spirit for me. And so I was drawn. And I believe that Nicodemus here received just enough of a shove from God's Holy Spirit to step out of his comfort zone, to risk exposure and the embarrassment of it, and to go and talk to this man. And a couple more points about the Spirit of God. The wind blows where it wants to. Do we even know that here in Wellington? You come round a corner and you're suddenly smacked in the face with a wind blowing against you, or your umbrella is turned inverted. And so with the Holy Spirit, we don't know how we will experience her. And with each one of us, we'll experience her differently. In the same way, further down there, it is with everyone who has been born of the Spirit. A life led by God's Holy Spirit is often unpredictable. You don't know when you wake up in the morning what is going to happen. There was a couple we met many years ago, and he was on his roof painting it. And she was down in the kitchen. They had a couple of little kiddies. And he distinctly heard God say to him, through the Spirit of God, I want you to go and be a missionary in this country. It may have been the Philippines. And he said, no, the initial thing was, are you going to paint that roof all your life? That's the one. And he's, what's going on here? I want you to be a missionary to the Philippines. And he said, you're going to have to convince my wife about that. So he went down and puzzling over this and went into the kitchen and she said, I think God wants us to go to the Philippines. And life for them, that couple, changed at that moment. And so a hunger for God's Holy Spirit drew Nicodemus to Jesus. And Nicodemus did come by night. He was hidden by the night, not knowing that in the next few hours Jesus would describe himself as the light of the world. So he came in darkness to the light of the world and received far more than he would have imagined. Jesus often refers to himself in the Greek, as I said before, as the Son of Man, literally the Son of the Man. And if you work that back in the Hebrew, going from Greek to Hebrew, it actually translates back to the human being. So he identifies with us completely. He receives a word that indicates Jesus as Messiah. The only one who has gone up to heaven is the human being who came down from heaven. It's a reference back to Daniel, and it's a messianic reference that would have been, well, that was well known at that time. He is told of the crucifixion that Jesus is facing, when the human being must be lifted up, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert. The reference here is to the poisonous stakes in Numbers 21. Those were sent among Israel because of grumbling, and the result of a bite was death. Moses was instructed to make a bronze snake and put it on a pole and plant it in the middle of the camp, basically, so that those bitten could look at it and be healed. And as we face our own troubles, our own problems, we look to Jesus, who is the source of our healing, the source of our salvation. He has the love of God explained, the agape love. God loves humanity. Out of his love, he gives the greatest gift he can give, his Son. In giving his Son, he gives us life. He finds that Jesus has not come to judge us, but to save us. Yet Jesus does confirm some form of judgment on people who do not believe. And at the very last verse, Nicodemus is encouraged to move towards the light and truth continually. So Nicodemus came by night. And we come in our darkness and weakness. Like Nicodemus, we come to seek and find truth. Drawn like a moth to the flame, we look to Jesus and we are met by his Spirit. Unpredictable in the way each of us experience her. Unpredictable in the way each of us walk with her. Unpredictable in the challenge she will lay before each of us. Yet she is comforter will lead us gently. Into a kingdom we will walk with her, into a kingdom of awareness and need around us, into a kingdom of light and transparency and compassion. And we are enabled to love in unexpected ways, to care in unexpected ways, to share in unexpected ways. So we walk with her into a new life. And as we walk, we find a light comes and shines on our deeds. Deeds that are wrought in God. As his people, we cannot be or remain hidden in darkness. Amen.